My name is Willow Walden, and I'm joined with Julie Olson, the Executive Director of the Advocate Safe House Project. She is here to tell us about the Advocate Safe House Project and their upcoming Luna Fest, which starts on February 20th. Hi, Julie. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Willow, for inviting me. I appreciate it.
It's great to have you. So, how would you describe the mission of the Advocate Safe House Project?
Well, our mission is to promote healthy relationships free from violence through education, advocacy, safe housing, and empowerment.
That's
And we
great.
do that in Garfield County. So sometimes people go, well, what does that mean? It means that we work with survivors of domestic and/or sexual violence here in Garfield County.
What led to the formation of this project within Garfield County?
Well, we've been around since 1987. So I could get into all the intricacies back then, but most people will just say, But prior to that, we really didn't have any organization that was working with victims of domestic violence. And there was a need. And so a group of people came together and said, let's get this started. And so as a nonprofit, they went through that process of getting the 501c3 federal identification number, et cetera, in 1987. And we've been around going strong ever since.
How prevalent would you say this issue is in Garfield County in our community?
Well, I know there are people who would like to think that we live in a very oasis kind of place, that it's beautiful, nothing bad happens, but that's not the case. Last year, we worked with 598 survivors of domestic violence and/or sexual assault. And that was a 21% increase from 2019. So that's now when those numbers will be different from the district attorney's numbers and from police numbers. And the reason is many people we work with do never call the police. You know, they're not going to call the police. And sometimes people who call the police don't call us. So they don't work with us. So they're not the same people necessarily. So they say one out of four women will be a victim of domestic violence in her lifetime, and one out of 10 men. So,
Wow.
yeah. So if you look at the numbers, I don't know how many, let's say there's 60,000 approximately population in Garfield County. Okay, now you got to get the kids out. So let's get the kids out. So now let's say there's 40,000, and let's say half of them are out of 40, that's 20,000 that are female approximately. So 5,000 are going to be affected by domestic violence in their lifetime.
And have you seen any change or improvement in our community since the establishment of the project?
I've been here since 1995, and I've definitely seen improvements from my predecessors, meaning that we didn't have a shelter. Now we have a shelter. So we have the only shelter program in the Roaring Fork in Garfield Valley and then the Garfield County. And we have programs that provide rental assistance. We work with youth who are victims of either dating violence or date rape, et cetera. But also as a community, what I've seen is that we are more able to talk with each other, meaning the stakeholders. And I want to say in 2014, we started a group that's called Garfield County Domestic Violence Coalition, and meet every other month, and we talk about we're going to be talking about cases we didn't in the past, but talking about where are the gaps? Where are the gaps to keep victims safe and offenders accountable? Because those are they're two different things, and sometimes they're the same, but not always.
Yeah.
So we're working on that, and it's a long haul. It just is. You're changing major systems, and that's a long haul.
Thank you. That's incredible. How long would you say that you've been involved with this project? You said you've
Well,
been here since 1995.
I've been the executive director since 1995. So at the end of this month, it'll be here 26 years. So for some people, in looking at it, that may be good or bad. So any given day, it could be any of those either. But I have great staff. We have great staff here and a great board, great volunteers that make this program what it is. So prior to that, I was involved with the domestic violence sexual assault program in Alaska for about 3 years. So that's how I heard about this job. Long story short, here I am 26 years later.
Wow. What draws you to advocacy against domestic violence in particular?
Well, I have several, I'm the youngest of 10. Mm-hmm. And 8 of us are female. And I can say that at least 2 have been involved in relationships that have been physically violent. And when I look back, and now as an adult, and I look at our relationships, I would say more than that have been with certainly emotionally abusive and verbally abusive relationships. And I am a survivor of sexual assault in college. So I say that to anyone who's going into college, be very careful. It's very easy to let your guard down. Do not. There are people there that are looking for easy prey. So regardless, I think, so I've always, so that's a piece of it. I'm a feminist, have been since probably the day I was born. Didn't understand why boys got to do something and girls didn't. That made no sense to me. But I've grown into being smarter about that, that I don't want to do the same. I'm not the same as a boy. I'm not the same as a guy. I'm female, I'm a woman, and my attributes are wonderful just the way they are. I don't need to be like a guy. Mm-hmm. But when I was younger, I felt like there was more, it had to be equal. And now that I'm older, it's equity. It's not equal, it's equity. And there's a big difference.
Wow, thank you so much. Those are really powerful words. So given all of your experiences and your advocacy, how do you think that we can best combat this culture of silence that we formed in our community and our society and just create a safe space for women to be heard?
Well, I think this last year has been really exciting. It's been a hard year because of COVID, but because of the civil rights justice movements, Black Lives Matter, it's exciting because what's happening is people are no longer saying, I'm going to be silent about this and the status quo is okay. Because the status quo is not okay. It never has been. And we have to look at those that are oppressed, whether they're women in a domestic violence relationship or men in a domestic violence relationship, people of color, disenfranchised, poverty, immigrants, low income. I could go on and on. That we need to be, and it's really hard because a lot of people go, they don't need to be, but really need to be open to hearing the other side. It's really easy to say, I'm right, but that's not going to get you anywhere. And nothing's going to change if you're right. You need to be open to hearing the other side. And there's a bit of compromise, but not 100% compromise. Mm-hmm. So it's that, to be open, to learn. I've learned a lot in the last probably 4 or 5 years about diversity, equity, and inclusivity. And the word privilege, what does that mean? And I'm a white, female, older woman, so I have some privilege categories and some not so privileged. But being white opens many doors for me that I don't even have to think about, that if someone, another female, same age, same everything, but a woman of color, and sorry about that, a woman of color is not going to have that privilege at all.
Absolutely.
So I think it's important to acknowledge your privilege and use it to benefit others, not yourself.
Mm-hmm. What do you think is the biggest obstacle within our society when it comes to these issues that we have to overcome?
That's a hard one. I could go to very political on that one, but I think we've really polarized in our society right now. And my side's right. I don't care what you have to say. And I'm going to, stand strong with that. And I think that's wrong. Mm-hmm. There are times that even at work here, and I'll do this, I'll play devil's advocate just to kind of get, let's get out of, we're going down the path, but we're not really looking at where all the little creeks are coming, you know, or the trails we could go off of. We need to look just differently at this. And then if we can, we might come up with a totally different idea. But I think the problem is people are really standing in their trenches and they're not willing to get out. And I don't know how else to say it. And until someone said it'll get better, and I'm going, I don't know. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I really do. Because people are feeling defensive. And it's hard to put that down.
Well, I don't think that I'm going to be the only person who's really, you know, impacted and moved by your message and the mission of this project. So I'm curious, how can I and other members of our community help to support you and what your organization is doing?
Well, first of all, I always kind of say, educate yourself. Find out about it, you know, learn about it. In this day and age with the internet, you can Google and get anywhere. But look at the sources. Like, once again, you need to be smart about your research. Just don't Google anything, because you can go down a rabbit hole and never get out. So we know that, okay? The other piece to that is we do, one of the things that we have here is we have volunteers for our 24-hour helpline. And because of COVID, we have now pivoted to online training as well as with Zoom meetings. So as a cohort, you can go and you'll get your training done, because there's online training through Violence Free Colorado, which is our Colorado State Coalition for Domestic or Against Domestic Violence. Mm-hmm. And so you can get the training, but now you need to have to discuss, because sometimes things kind of, you get triggered or maybe just don't quite understand the concept. And we'll be meeting in a Zoom format, and we're going to be starting a training. So this was good. I totally forgot about this, but the week of February 22nd. So if you're interested, you can go to our website, which is advocatesafehouse.org. And in one of the banners that goes around on our website, there will be information about how to get connected in with in that training, if you're interested. And even if the training's not feasible for you right now, it might be in a couple months or whatever, and we can work with you on that. So that's another opportunity. Another opportunity, if you're interested, is to attend LunaFest, because LunaFest is a fundraiser for us, and we're a nonprofit, and that's how we stay alive, is raising money through the community and grants, et cetera, but to, fundraising is huge for us. But the other piece about LunaFest is you're going to learn a lot, you're going to be entertained, and it'll be fun. And it's virtual this year. So that's new and exciting, I guess.
It's exciting. So I'd love to talk about that. LunaFest is the first ever traveling film festival for women by women, and it's raised over $6 million for women's causes, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. So how did Advocate Safe House Project first become involved with this festival?
I'm trying to think of her name. The woman from Carbondale that had the stroller. Oh, it's going to come. But anyway, she was from Carbondale, who I was at a Glenwood Springs chamber meeting, and I did a spiel on Advocate Safe House Project, and she said, I want to partner with you for this. And I'm like, what is LunaFest? Because I had no idea. So we've been doing it for 12 years. LA Bailey is her name. So I don't know if she's still in the Carbondale area, but it was because of LA. I'd never heard of it before. Anyway, so we started it working with her, and eventually her life took her in a different direction, which was fine, but we kept on with it. And it morphed into something that was a real slow fundraiser that had not a big following. And probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we moved it to the Hotel Colorado, and it took off. Unfortunately, this year we can't have it at the Hotel Colorado, so now we're doing it virtual. But LunaFest, the organization LunaFest, has done a great job pivoting to doing it virtual. So we're really excited about it that we can still offer this for the community. But the films are just, this year there's seven. And what I like about it, it's short films. So if there's one that's not real exciting, that you're kind of bored with, it'll be over shortly and the next one will come up. And they range from, I want to say eight minutes to 14 minutes long. And they range from A to Z. So some are American, some are not. But now you can watch them in your own home. And we put together LunaFest gift bags for those that are interested in attending. So you can pick yours up at Treads in Glenwood Springs. We have gift bags that include microwave popcorn and Luna bars, because if you've ever been at a LunaFest, popcorn is really a big thing. So we know that popcorn is what you do at a movie. So you have that. Plus we have hand sanitizer from the Breast Center at Valley View and some fun socks from Alpine Bank. And some ASP swag. So definitely pick them up. So
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'll be attending LunaFest, so I'm really excited.
Well, I'm really curious to see what you think about it afterwards. So let me know, seriously.
I'll be sure to. What impact has your involvement with LunaFest had on the Advocate Safe House project?
Well, I think it's really helped us to get out of our silo. And by that, I mean domestic violence, sexual assault, and we keep it kind of closed. And what it's done is really, I think, allowed us, or brought me in particular, to the realization that it's bigger than that. We're bigger than that, you know, whether it's human trafficking, but also just the oppression of women in general. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, women aren't oppressed in the United States. And I'm like, well, you mustn't be female. So that's it. Right. But B, just to look at the world through different lenses, and literally and figuratively through the filmmaker's lens, but also to be educated on topics that sometimes they're similar to ours, but sometimes they're way different. But they're always interesting. It makes you, when you leave, you won't be leaving because you'll be at home, or, you know, but you'll be thinking about it. It's not like you leave and you'll never think about that film, that one film that was really very interesting to you, or either triggered you because maybe it brought back a memory that you hadn't even thought about in years. But as I said, thought provoking. So
definitely. Why do you think film has that impact? Why do you think it's become such a powerful medium for change?
Well, I think in LunaFest in particular, what I like about it, it's short films. So it's not a 2-hour film, an hour and a half, et cetera, although the combined films together pretty much equal that. But it's just like they get to the point in their films. So I like that. The other thing is, it's oftentimes these are female filmmakers that need support. Because if you look at who are making the films in our, especially in American society, it's men. And so this allows for women to have their perspective. And females' perspectives are definitely going to be different than men's. And that's okay. Remember when I was talking earlier about equity, not equality, but equity. It's the same. It's not. But we want some equitable opportunities, I guess.
Definitely. Do you have a favorite female filmmaker or actress or any participant in film?
Well, I'll be honest. I haven't watched them yet. I haven't had access to them. Mm-hmm. And this year, how it's really different, because last year and previously, we could download the films first. And so if we wanted to, we could watch them. And people would always ask me, Julie, what's your favorite film, before I watch them? And I said, I'm going to watch them probably 3 times. I really don't need a 4. So when we were at the Hotel Colorado. So now I've not seen them. I've ordered my film and it doesn't start until Saturday, February 20th at 7 p.m. Now, and that's when you push start. Now, if you want to start watching the movie at 8 o'clock that night, you can. You're going to see the same films, the same format, etc. And what's nice about this year with the virtual is that you have 48 hours to watch the films. So it's nice. But the clincher is once you start watching, you now only have 24 hours to finish it. You know, right. But it's really neat. So I haven't watched it yet.
That's completely fair. You already shared a lot of really useful information on, attending LunaFest and how to get involved. But just in case any listeners didn't have a pen and notepad on them at the time, where can they find this information for future reference?
Right. That's good. Thanks, Willow. There's two places. You can go to advocatesafehouse.org. That's our website. And you'll see how on the banner that goes around, or the carousel, I guess it's called the carousel that goes around on our website. You can click on more information, buy tickets, or you can go to lunafest.org and then go to their screenings, and then you go to the date, and it's February 20th. And it's really easy, and the tickets are $23. $20 comes to us, and $3 goes to the processing fee. But it will definitely be worth it because they have really streamlined it in comparison to last year when they had to pivot to digital. They weren't as sophisticated as they are now. Right. Just like most of us, we're much more sophisticated with Zoom or online learning, virtual meetings than we were a year ago.
Definitely, yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I really appreciated your experience and your vulnerability. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Willow. I appreciate you even asking me. So, and good luck next year in school.
Thank you so much. Is there anything you'd like to add before we sign off?
Go to advocatesafehouse.org or lunafest.org. I think you'll enjoy yourselves, whether you have people come over and watch, that you are socially distant, you have your masks on, et cetera. But also just enjoy the films. I think, right now, I know many of us have been watching a lot of TV or Netflix, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is going to be really different. You're not going to find it on Netflix. You're not going to find it on Prime. This is the only place. But the other thing I want to point out is LunaFest is a national film fest. And by that, I mean, if you go to New York City in 2 months and they have a LunaFest, it's the same films. So that's what's pretty cool. We're watching them I think we're like maybe the sixth screening that's happened this year so far in the country.
Wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you, Willow. Take care.
You too. We've been talking with Julie Olson from the Advocate Safehouse Project. For more information, visit advocatesafehouse.org and lunafest.org.